Here we go. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. Everybody say malice. And malice is wishing evil on others. Did y'all realize that? Malice is wishing evil on others. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile, hypocrisy, envies, and evil speaking. So that's the first five. That's all five danger signs with regard to evil speaking. And then verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow, that ye may grow thereby. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful again tonight for the privilege of preaching, and we pray that you take this message and bless in a mighty way. We're thankful for all the blessings you've given us, which are more than can be numbered. Thankful for this church that you've given us to be able to preach at. I'm thankful for the people that's here this evening to come and be a part of the services. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. What I'm going to title this message is Five Killers of Growth. Five Killers of Growth. I've done two messages out of this particular area, but then what I wanted to do is to go back to chapter 2 and entitle this message, Five Killers of Growth. Five of them. And there's five in this particular text. All of it is in chapter 2, 1 Peter 1, 2, and verse 1. Chapter 2 and verse 1. So this has all kinds of things in it that I want you to... These are things that we need to watch out for. All of God's people needs to watch out for these things. Malice is wishing evil on others. Guile is another message that has pretty much the same connotation as malice. Malice and guile kind of go together. Hypocrisy is acting out a part. That's where we get the term hypocrite. A hypocrite was an actor. Someone that was just acting out a part. So hypocrisy carries that. Envy. Envy is kind of like wishing evil on others. And then the last part of it is evil speaking. So those are five killers of spiritual growth. Let me say it again. Five killers of spiritual growth. Now let's get the first one. Laying aside all malice. And like malice is basically is like hatred. Someone has malice towards it. When someone has malice in their heart, they basically have hatred in their hearts. Now, that can take root in Christian people, too, and that's not a good place. Hey, you don't want to have that in your life. You don't want to have that in your heart. Sometimes God's people needs to go to the Lord and repent of such things as listed in this text, especially malice. We need to lay that aside. And let me tell you what malice will do. It'll make you mean. It'll make you mean. And what it will also do, it will rob you of all your fruitfulness. That's what it'll do. So anytime malice takes root in somebody's heart, if they're a Christian, it's going to make them unfruitful. And it's going to have a big impact on their life. So they won't really do much as a Christian when they have malice in their heart. Got to get rid of it. All God's people say it. Now, sometimes the problem is people like to hold on to anger. Do y'all agree? People love to just hold on to anger, and to keep it going, you got to tell the story about it to everybody. You ever notice it? They'll tell that sad, mean story that somebody did to them, and there's people that haven't went to church for 20 years because something somebody said in a church house somewhere. Just like a kid. It's what I always said. Just like a kid. You just got to let that go. Or you know what it'll do? It'll turn into malice. And it'll make you what? Make you unfruitful. It'll make you unfruitful. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And the verse 15. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. Whosoever hates his brother, of course malice and hatred go together, right? Whosoever hates his brother is a what? Calls you a what? You like to be called a murderer? I wouldn't like to be called a murderer, but it's, and the reason why he calls it that is when somebody has that type of spirit in their heart, what it does, it takes root in your heart and it brings in hatred and you start hating people. And when you hate somebody, basically that's just like saying you wish they were dead or something. You know what I mean? That's how bad that is. So you got to deal with stuff like that. God's people, there ain't no room for malice for God's people. Get it out of your heart. And you know what it'll do if you don't? It'll kill your fruitfulness. It'll make you unhappy. It'll make you sad. You won't grow as long. Listen to me. You won't grow as long as you have it. So what do you got to do? There's been times I've had to go in and say, Lord, I'm so agitated and mad and filled with such malice that I can't even think right now. And I have to pray, Lord, forgive me for this ignorance. I do that sometimes. I say, Lord, forgive me for this ignorance. How is this blessed? All that does is weighs you down spiritually. All God's people say it. So what do we got to do? You got to get rid of that. God doesn't want his children to have those things in their heart. And if you don't get rid of that, then it's going to eat your lunch. And what it's going to do is going to make you mean and hateful and you don't want to be around them. I know people that's got mad at people has been mad at them for 30 years. They've been mad for 30 years over the same thing. That's ridiculous. Listen to me. Sometimes you got to forgive people. And you'll find if you forgive somebody, it'll let you off the hook too. It'll let you off the hook too. So sometimes you just got to forgive people. If you hold on to malice, it'll eat your lunch. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Okay? All right, let's go back to our text in 1 Peter chapter 2. Remember, this is a good text right here. Once I found it, laying aside all malice and all guile. A good example of someone that had guile that I picked out would be someone along the line of Judas. Would be someone that would have guile for people. Malice and what else? Guile. Judas wasn't true, was he? Was he real? Let me ask you another question. Be careful how you answer this. Was Judas saved? No. Scripture says it would have been better for that man if he had never been born. He was lost the whole time. Jesus said, I chose you 12, and one of you is remember what he said? A demon. That's what he said. What does that mean? Well, I think Judas probably had a demon in him. He turned in the master and all those kinds of things. So, Killer number one is malice. Five killers of growth. As long as you have malice, you won't grow. Number two, killer number two is guile. That's someone like Judas. Was he real? Or was he a hypocrite? Yeah, there always will be hypocrites. They always will be. People talk about hypocrites all the time. And there always will be hypocrites on this earth. What do we want to be? We want to be real. We want to be true. We want to be steadfast. We don't want to be a hypocrite. Scripture says, with regard to Judas, and I'm going to tell it to you one more time, it would have been better for him if he had never been what? Never been. How bad of a mess that would be. Been better for that man if he had never been born. That's Matthew 26:24. All right, we're talking about killers of growth. Malice is one. Second one is guile. And someone that has guile in their heart, these type of people are basically like hypocrites. They're just not true. So what does that mean with regard to us? Well, we don't want to have malice, and we don't want to have guile either one, do we? So the reason you preach on things like this is so if you have those things in your heart, you need to get rid of it because it'll make you more fruitful once you get rid of it. It'll make you far more fruitful once you get rid of it. It'll make you closer to Jesus if you get rid of it. But if you have malice and guile in your heart, it's gonna affect your spiritual growth. So you got to get rid of it. Now, the best of people can fall for malice, and the best of people can fall for guile. But when you feel that, let me say it, when you feel it, you got to get rid of it. Lord, I do it all the time. Lord, get this thing out of my heart. I'm so agitated over this thing, Lord, that I can't even stand it. My whole heart's filled with guile. I want to get rid of this thing. And you know what he'll do? He'll get rid of it for you. Take it to Jesus and get rid of it, because as long as you carry malice and guile, you'll never prosper. You'll never prosper spiritually. It'll take away all your fruit. So you got to get rid of it. Okay? All right. Number three, here is the third killer of growth, and the third is hypocrisy. We don't want to be a hypocrite. The best example to me of someone that was a hypocrite was Judas. I think he was a hypocrite. I think nobody at the table around him knew what he was but Jesus. But I know for a fact that Jesus knowed what he was. He said, "I chosen you 12, but one of you is a what? A hypocrite." He called him a hypocrite right there at the Last Supper. Was he saved? No, he was a hypocrite. And usually everywhere where there are churches at or places of worship at, there'll always be a hypocrite somewhere. I hope you never have hypocrites here at Lisbon. I hope it never happens. But I'm sure it's happened before. They come in and they don't truly live the life. They're not truly born again. So hypocrisy is a dangerous, dangerous thing. Let's turn to Matthew 26. I forgot why I put that down here. Matthew 26, if I can find it. Matthew 26 and 24. Here's what it says about Judas. Okay, let me move up a little bit here. This is Matthew 26. It says, in verse 21, it says, "As they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Now, did Jesus know who the betrayer was? And you know what was funny to me? Jesus never treated him no different. I'd have tripped him. I wouldn't have fed him. I mean, I'd have been mean to him, but he never treated him any different than the others. Even though he knew what he was. Even though he knew what he was. Yet at the same time, he never let it out. I mean, that shows you what kind of king that shows you what kind of king that we worship. All right, verse 24, Matthew 26 and 24. The Son of Man goes, as it is written. Son of Man goes, as it is written. But he that dippeth his hand in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goes, as it is written of him. But woe to him by whom the Son of Man is betrayed, which was Judas. It had been good for that man if he hadn't been what? Born. Been better for that man if he'd never been born. Would you think that's probably true of anybody that dies without Jesus? Wouldn't that be true? Been better for that man if he'd never been born. It torments me at times when people that I know of that never trusted Jesus and died without Jesus, it just kills me. There's nothing you can do once they're gone. When they're out of here, they're out of here. There's nothing you can do about it. Beloved, that's why it's so important for people to trust Jesus as their Savior. I mean, my. There's a lot of people out here in this big, wide, wide world that believe in heaven. And they also believe in hell. But at the same time, they've not done nothing about with regards to the gospel or trusting the gospel in any way. They know about hell. They have a fear of hell, but they've never trusted Jesus. Have you ever seen that? They know about it. They have a fear of it, but at the same time, that's why I always said I think that's who the biggest gamblers are, is those that believe in Jesus, but gamble with their soul that there'll be another time that they can do it. Man, we're talking about eternity here. We're talking about forever here. See, it's a danger. It's a dangerous thing not to have everlasting life. To know you need it and know you believe it, but at the same time, you don't do anything in the world about it. Let's go back to Proverbs 27. Let's go to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Now remember what we're looking at. Five killers of growth. What was the first one? Malice. What's the second one? Gall. What's the third one? Hypocrisy. A good example of a hypocrite was Judas. And there's all kinds of hypocrites today. And always will be. Okay. Now, Proverbs chapter 27 and the verse 4. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who can stand before what? Envy. Who can stand before envy? Good example of someone in the scriptures that was envious was Joseph's brothers. They hated Joseph, basically because Dad loved him best. He loved Joseph, but his brothers hated him. They put him down in a pit. Eventually, I'm sure that they wanted to kill him. Think about it. What caused him to take such a fashion towards their brother? Envy. Very envious of his brother. And it made him what? It made him mean. Didn't care to kill him. Why did Cain slay Abel? Same deal, wasn't it? Same thing. What was the problem? Envy. Envy's a dangerous thing. These killers of growth, malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy, these are dangerous things. They can take root in you. I mean, really, the problem is all we think about a sin is drinking and smoking and things of that nature. But these are things that take root in your heart. And what it does, it'll quench you out spiritually. Man, if you get envy in your heart, if you get hypocrisy in your heart, these things will eat your lunch. And you'll get to where you hate everybody, and you despise everybody. Joseph's brothers hated him. Y'all agree? They hated him. He was a godly young man. But they were so jealous of him that envy took over. They put him in a pit and was eventually going to come back and kill him. Their own what? Their own brother. All right. Number five. Here's the next one. Evil speaking. 1 Peter 2:2 says, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. We need to grow spiritually. But evil speaking can take over your whole world. Here's different types of evil speaking, backbiting, people talking about, you know, behind people's backs, evil speaking, profanity, using the Lord's name in vain. That's all evil speaking. That's all evil speaking. Something you just got to get to, you got to get rid of. You got to take all of these things, bring them to the Lord, and leave it there. All God's people say it. Now this will make you better all the way around. This will make you better. If you have these five killers of growth, malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking, it'll eat your lunch. It'll take your joy. And you know what it does with you to your joy meter? It goes all the way this way. Beloved, you got to choose. You got to make a choice every day of your life to say, I'm not going to walk in malice. I'm not going to walk in guile today. I'm not going to walk in hypocrisy. I'm not going to envy. And I'm not going to speak evil. If you do five of those things every day of your life, it's going to make a great deal how you live. It's going to change some things around with you. We need to do that. God's people should live sober, righteous, and godly in this present world. And how we speak and how we talk, people should be able to tell whether you're a Christian or not. And we must deal with these five killers of growth. All God's people say it. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention tonight. Thanks for